grüße euch herzlich in den teuflischen Namen des Herrn.
I would like to greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord. It's a great privilege that we can be here today. Before I give you a brief report, I would like to read two verses from the Bible, from the first letter of John, chapter 4. Ye are God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is really mighty that God was revealed to us in such a way. We are not speaking about a theory, but about a real experience given to us by God. 1 week ago, I was in Yangon in Myanmar, and today we can be here. And also I would like to mention the special trip we had in April when we visited Dubai and Abu Dhabi and also Pakistan, and that God gave us so much of his grace, opened the door. So his word could be preached and proclaimed as it has never been before. Especially in Pakistan, 90% of people there believe in Islam, and God opened the doors and opened the hearts, even on TV. And can you imagine, in the TV station I met a special man. He heard that I had known Brother Branham, so he invited me to speak on TV, and his first question was, did you really know Brother Branham in person? And I said, yes, I knew him for 10 years. And then his answer was, my grandfather heard him in his meetings, and my grandfather taught me so much, and he still mentioned his grandfather. And we should just imagine, that man lived in Pakistan, and then he traveled to Bombay, India, to hear Brother Branham there. So he said that my grandfather told me what God did in the ministry of Brother Branham. Tell us what you heard and what you saw. And after I was speaking for half an hour, we had a break, and then he said that you must have much more to tell us. I will give you 1 more hour. Tell us all that you can say from God's part. This is your opportunity. And I used that opportunity. And I had almost 1 hour to proclaim the Word of God. And that the nice man said, what you preached here today, will be heard in 56 countries, and 23 of those are located in the Persian Gulf. You can't imagine how moved I was. I traveled all around the world, but these countries were as if locked up to this time. And God opened the door there in the last moments so that the last message can actually reach the last ones. That's what our Lord said. You all know, we all know what He said in Matthew 24, verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end will be. And you know, in Matthew 24, our Lord spoke about the end time, about what will happen before the return of the Lord, about all the wars and earthquakes and famines, and even he mentioned the people of Israel, that they will be gathered from all countries and languages. In Luke 21, verse 24, it is written there that the people of Israel will be scattered all around the world, and that Jerusalem would be trodden by Gentiles until the time of Gentiles is over. And we can experience all of that. For more than 150 countries, God called the people of Israel back, and since 1948 there has been the state of Israel, and even in the Old Testament in Amos 9 verse 10 it's written that a fig tree was used as a symbol for the people of Israel. The Lord said that we should learn from the fig tree. Our Lord only spoke in parables, but then he took his disciples aside and he said that it was given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And so it is also in our time. Who could imagine that the time would come when all nations and languages would be reached? Paul made a few trips. Other men of God made several trips. Brother Branham visited 12 different countries. He took 7 special trips. But after the opening of the seals in 1963, after that he made no more journey, not to Europe or any other place. And even in the South Africa, he was not allowed to preach. I cannot mention all the details, but he was told in 1933, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with the message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. And Brother Branham also added, using the words, it's not me who is the forerunner, but the message will be the forerunner. It's just very mighty how God took care of everything. And also He made it possible for me to be an eyewitness, an ear witness. And also as John the Apostle, what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, that's what we preach you from the word of life. Just as Peter could say in 2 Peter chapter 1, that we were with him on the holy mountain. We heard a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. They were eyewitnesses and ear-witnesses of God the Lord was doing in that time. And our Lord said, you are to be my witnesses. A witness had to see something, otherwise he can't be a witness. So the Lord really took care of everything. And just for your information, I am the most simple man on earth. I was born on a farm with no electricity. It was just a very big farm with a small lake and a small forest. There was a stream of water. But we lived a very simple life. And then God gave the grace that we had to escape, and we arrived in the West, and I had the opportunity to be present in Brother Branham's meetings and to experience what God was doing in our time. And there were really some highlights in my life. In 1949 and in the following years, even in 1953, I read the book A Man Sent from God, and I had the desire to meet the man. In 1955, this desire was fulfilled for me, and in 1958 I attended a large conference in the USA, and God opened my eyes there and opened my understanding. And He let me know the ministry given to us, and not just to understand that now we are living in the last part of the plan of salvation, but God the Lord opened my eyes. So it was in 1958, and God led it that way, and the man of God said, you will return to Germany with this message. I only say this for your information. I can't boast of anything. I'm really the simplest man on earth. But as it is written, who would like to boast, he only should boast about the Lord. But for a ministry, one needs to be called by God. And God's calling is the most important thing for me. All the experiences were wonderful. But the 2nd April 1962, remains the most important day in my life.
When
I heard the voice of God, all penetrating voice of God for the first time, and to told me, my servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to proclaim my word. I have never proclaimed anything else but the Word of God, and by the grace of God, I have never deviated from the Word of God, not a single time. I only preached what I can preach or what I could preach from the Bible. You all know about these things. Many people refer to Brother Branham. You know how many doctrines there are. But the bride of the Lamb is the bride of the Word. If something is not written in the Word of God, then it's not from God. No man can add anything or take anything from it, because that's what our Lord said in Revelation 22, chapter 22. That's why I do not believe any interpretation, nothing about seven thunders, nothing about Brother Branham coming back. Not of all the things that are preached in the world, I only believe the Word of God, and I believe what is written, that the Lord Himself will finish His work, and that's what's going on in our time. It's about calling out, about separation, and then we need to have a look at the Old Testament, in the second book of Moses. It was about the exodus of Israel from Egypt. Egypt. Exodus means to go out. And when it took place, when the lamb was killed, as a sacrifice, and the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will go over it without causing any harm. And we have to respect it, not just a message, but what happened for us on Calvary, when our Lord shed His blood, as He Himself said in Matthew 26, verse 26 to 28, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, that is shed for many for the remission of sins, the blood of the new covenant for the people of the new covenant, to lead us out and to give us grace to forgive our guilt. And in that way, what is written in Isaiah 53, that was fulfilled. He was bruised for our iniquities and tortured for our diseases. And in His bruises, we are healed. The message can't be preached only if there is a foundation. And the beginning simply must be preached. God was in Christ, and He reconciled the world with Himself. And as John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. Not just a message, but to be connected with God. to experience our personal conversion, to be born again, to be restored, to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, not just to speak about the message, but to come back to the beginning. As our Lord said in Luke 24, verse 47, that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached. First, we have to preach the remission of sins, and the message must be preached to the people of God. But first, we must become God's children, and there is the Pentecost at the end of this week, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the founding of the New Testament Church and the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. Isaiah 44, Joel chapter 2, the last five verses. In the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your elders shall have visions and dreams, and I will pour out my spirit upon my servants. So it's written in prophet Joel. And in the Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, we read that there was a mighty voice, a noise from heaven, as if strong wind, and filled the whole house. And at the first baptism of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, and new tongues appeared first, divided by fire. Today, there are 550 million people who all claim that they are Pentecostal and charismatic. They all believe whatever they want. They all say whatever they want. And they all preach whatever they want. And they do whatever they want. If I told you that even now, during the last trip, there were three Pentecostal charismatic churches, people speak in tongues there, people move, and there is a lot of music. And when we look into the meeting, there are sisters with long trousers. Even in one city, in one church, one brother told me, now I would like to introduce our preacher to you. And it was a woman dressed in trousers, and she was the leader of the church, of the Pentecostal church. I couldn't understand it. So I had to slam my fist on the table. And I had to say that the same God who gave us all the commandments, the same God said that women should not wear any clothes of men. I have to preach the truth, whether it's about Godhead, about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, about the return of Jesus Christ, about what God promised. It is my commission, my task, to proclaim the truth. And it was clear to me that it could be the last time, and that this may be the last opportunity that's given to those people. So the Holy Spirit falls upon all flesh. But when we go to the Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, and we read verse 2 and 3, our Lord said, so they were, they had to wait for the promise of the Father. John said, I baptize by water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But the main statement is the promise of the Father. First, we have to become sons and daughters of God. First, we have to be born again. As our Lord Himself said, you must be born again. Otherwise, you can't see the kingdom of God. And in John chapter 20, verse 17, our Lord said, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Through the new birth, we will receive the eternal life. Through the new birth, we become sons and daughters of God. The conversion is the acceptance of the remission of our sins. But then the word of God must be put into us, because so it is written that the word is the seed. In Luke chapter 11, verse 8, in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, the word is the seed. And when the seed is sown, then it can go up. But first the seed must be sown. It's also very important just to know before the face of God that this is the most important time and the most important part of the plan of salvation, that we are absolutely close to the return of the Lord. We can't mention all things, but if you hear some latest news coming from Vatican and about negotiations going on with Palestinians or Israelites, it was even written somewhere that the agreement is ready to be signed. And as our Lord said, before Daniel 9:27 is fulfilled, that the agreement will be concluded, that will happen at about the same time as the church is raptured. Brother Branham said that the conclusion of the agreement with Israel and Vatican will be at about the same time as the rapture takes place. But we are waiting for the rapture. We are listening to the last message and we watch all things that are taking place. Even up to Prophet Joel, chapter 3, in verse 2, where our Lord said, they have divided my land, everything is written, and everything is coming to pass before our very eyes. And it's written in Luke 21, when you see all these things come to pass, then look up, for you know that your redemption is near. Our Lord also said, it's not up to you to know the time or the hour, but He also said, when you see these things coming to pass, then you know it is near, that it's at the door. And then He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And He said, be ready, for you do not know at which hour the Lord will come. The last message is the most important, and only those who are part of the bride will hear the voice of the bridegroom. All the others will just go on. All churches will follow their own paths. And there is special scripture in the letter of Jacob, also for all Pentecostal brothers who believe in the unity of God. And still they go around what God promised for this time. And then when we read in Jacob, James, you believe there is only one God? Even the devil believes that, and he trembles. It is not enough to believe there is only one God. We have to believe what God promised, what He said, and accept and receive every word He said and thank Him for it. That's why our Lord said, who believes in me as the scripture says. And He also said, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sin. John 8:24. There are special statements. And who reads John 14 and John 16? Our Lord gave the promise there that the Holy Spirit will come. And that's what John the Baptist preached. Matthew 3, verse 11. I baptize you in water for repentance, but the one coming after me will baptize you by the Holy Spirit and fire. And when the time was fulfilled, I will read one more verse, just so that you could know how apostles put everything into a biblical order. So what they said was based on the Word of God. In the Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed for this which ye now see and hear. It's just very mighty. Just as our Lord and Savior in His body of flesh was baptized in the river of Jordan, the heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down and the voice was heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So it must happen with us. And after we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, there must be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The word must be fulfilled. So he was the firstborn among many brothers. Our Lord could be whatever. He could be the Lamb of God, could be the Lion of Judah, He could be the Son of Man, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God. He is the King, Priest, Prophet, He is all in all. All that belong to the plan of salvation that was given to us by God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to what God said, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit. And then we read in the letter of Corinthians how Paul put the gifts of the Spirit in order, and the fivefold ministry was established, how the nine gifts of the Spirit were put into order. And then we get to chapter 13, that there he says that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if I didn't have the love of God, I would be nothing. And then we go to Romans chapter 8. All those who are led by the Holy Spirit, those are the sons and daughters of God. And then if we go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, seven times it is mentioned, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And those who are crowned, they hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And it all remains in the Word of God. Only in that way we can be in the will of God. And in Hebrews chapter 10, this is one of the most important chapters when referring to the will of God. Our Lord prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." But here it is written that we'll be sanctified in the will of God. Hebrews chapter 10, first verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After the fulfillment of the will of God. That's why it's written in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For all those who are sanctified by Him, not just our soul to be saved, but to be sanctified in the Word of God. John 17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is the truth. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God must be the light for our feet. It must be great for us what Peter wrote in the 2 Peter chapter 2 about the prophetic word that we have. And you do well if you follow it as the light, the prophetic word. Glory be to Almighty God for His word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall remain forever. And our Lord and Savior, in His body of flesh, He took upon Himself all evil, and He cried on the cross, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? He took your place, He took my place, He took your guilt, my guilt. And then it was fulfilled that God was in Christ, and He reconciled the world with Himself, as we read in verse 14, Through one sacrifice, he perfected those who are sanctified by him. So again, John 17:17, sanctifying them in thy truth, thy word is the truth. We are to be ready for the return of the Lord. We must repeat it again and again. At the first coming of Christ, all the promises were fulfilled that were written in the Old Testament. In connection with the plan of salvation, when the Savior was to be born in Micah, the prophet of Micah, what his ministry should be, Isaiah 35, how he will suffer, Isaiah 53, how he will die on the cross, and not only that, also about his resurrection in the Psalms. I will not leave his body in the hell and you won't see any corruption. And also Psalm 47, that the trumpet will sound. Everything was written and it is still written. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand that John the Baptist was the promised prophet. That's why it's written in Luke 16:16. The law and prophets up to John. But from the time the kingdom of God is being preached, he was the man sent by God, Isaiah 40. The voice will be heard in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In Malachi 3 verse 1, I am sending my messenger before my face. So when the time was fulfilled, angel Gabriel came and he stood at the right side of the altar in Luke and he gave the promise to Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth shall have a son and you will name him John, and he will walk before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the heart of fathers to children and to make a well-prepared people for the Lord. The ministry sent by God at that time, it was directly connected with the plan of salvation. If there is a promised prophet on earth, then it's something beyond a local church. That's about the global plan of God. And the whole plan of salvation is included in that. So it was in our time. And I am just so grateful for the word and that God gave us the grace to live in this time and to know what God has promised to us. And the main promise is that our Lord will return. John 14, verse 1 and 3. I will go to prepare the place for you and I will come back to take you where I am. So that's the promise given to us, and we are the children of the promise and we believe every promise. Because so it is in 2 Corinthians All God's promises are yea and amen, so that God is glorified through us. The children of promise believe the word of promise, and they will receive the spirit of promise. They are connected with God, and they are experiencing the last part of the plan of salvation, and we are just grateful for it. So also in the last chapter of the Old Testament, our Lord said, I am sending Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's so important for me that we believe, as the scripture says, that we return with everything to the word of God, as Peter proclaimed it in the first sermon. He did not only preach about repentance and faith. In the second chapter of Acts, the sun will turn to darkness and the moon into blood before the great and horrible day of the Lord would come. Just imagine, in the first sermon 2,000 years ago, at the foundation of the New Testament Church, the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, could proclaim what I will proclaim in the very last sermon, that the day of the Lord would come, the sun would turn into darkness and the moon into blood. That's taking place in the sixth seal in Revelation. And when that takes place, before that there must be the calling out, the preparation of the bride church. And as it is on earth, so it is in the spiritual realm. When a young man gives a promise to a lady that you are now my bride, from that moment the promise is made, then the lady becomes a bride and the young man is a bridegroom. Before that he is a man, and the lady is just a girl. But the moment the young man gives the promise to the lady, you belong to me and we will get married, then she is the bride and he is the bridegroom. And this is the great secret. Many people belong to the church. But who belongs to the bride? Why is it written, behold, the bridegroom is coming? Why is it written in Revelation 19, verse 7? And his bride hath made herself ready. Now it is about the calling out of those who belong to the bride. All the others will follow their own ways. But all those who belong to the bride church will hear the calling of the bridegroom and they will believe. They will hear what the Spirit says unto the church. They will be corrected also about Godhead. Just imagine, brothers and sisters, how many charismatic churches there are in every country. I was surprised that in Dubai there was a charismatic church with some tongues, and they all believe in Trinity, in the triune baptism, and none of them believes as the scripture says. None of them know about the promise for this time. And are some great TV evangelists, and especially one that is known worldwide. So, and this evangelist, first he prayed first in the name of Jesus, but then something happened and he started to pray in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost. You just have to imagine that. That formula has never been used in the Bible, not a single time. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, our Lord said, and baptize them unto that name. What is the name we are to use for baptism? God is the Father. He was revealed in the Son and through the Holy Spirit. But what is the name in which He was revealed? What is the name? You should name him Jesus, Yahshua. Lord is the Savior. You should call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Every baptism since the Acts chapter 2 was done in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:38, or in chapter 8, or in chapter 10, or in chapter 19, verse 5-6, all of them, Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles, they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we need to return to that beginning, to the original foundation that was laid in the beginning. And Paul, the man sent from God, had to say in Galatians 1 that if anyone proclaims a different gospel, then he is under the evil influence. There is only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it was originally preached. No mixing up. The light is the light, and darkness is darkness. Truth is truth, and something false is false. A lie is a lie. In the first John, we are of God, and who is of God, he heareth us. I do not have a single teaching of my own. Whatever I have preached, it is written in the Word of God. And we simply must understand that now, before the coming of the Lord, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that we need to go out of all denominations to be separated and to be made ready, so that we are actually sanctified by the truth, and the Word of God is and remains the truth. So even now, before the return of the Lord, before the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood, as it is written in Joel the prophet, before that happens, at the end of the time of grace, and that is when we are living now. Brothers and sisters, God gave us the grace to know the time and the hour, to know the promises that are coming to pass in our time, as he himself said, in Malachi the prophet, or in Matthew 17, or in Mark 9, Elijah will come and restore all things. What did Elijah do? He called God's people together. Some of them follow some priests of different religions. So they build their own altars. They did not return to Jerusalem anymore. And then God sent Elijah the prophet, and he called the people together on the Mount of Carmel, and he said, how long do you want to walk on both sides? If the Lord is God, then follow him. And it's also written that God the Lord led their hearts back. What is going on today? God wants to lead our hearts back to the faith of the fathers, to the Word of God. And that's why the Holy Spirit is given for, to lead us into all the truth. As our Lord said, when the Spirit of truth came, he will lead you into all the truth. I say it again, and with a pain in my heart. What about all those great evangelists? About the charismatic personalities who all knew Brother Branham, so what's with them? They are going around what God promised. They are building their own kingdom, and they are out of the kingdom of God. It really hurts a lot. And then they say about signs and miracles. And when somebody is healed, then those men are praised. And if it didn't happen, then those people are to blame because they did not believe. So if somebody is healed, it was the work of the evangelist, and if they are not healed, then it was because the person did not believe. So it hurts me a lot. But even in this, the scripture must be fulfilled. Many will come to me on that day saying, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not perform signs and miracles? And the Lord will have to tell them, go away from me, I do not know you. My brothers and sisters, our Lord, he knows you. If we meet, then if two people meet, they know each other. First, there must be the personal meeting. Brothers and sisters, this is the most important time, the time of the decision. The decision we make now will take with us to eternity. And as sure as the Lord gave the promise about sending the prophet Elijah, so sure it is that we return back to the original foundation, to the teachings of apostles, built upon the apostles and prophets. Nowadays, it is not about what Athanasius and other people said. These days, what matters is what Peter, Paul, James, what they said, what is written in the Word. go back to God. And we all know how God has used man, Jan Hus. And he said, believe the truth. He mentioned it 7 times. And he gave a wonderful testimony. And then he died for it. Because he put the Roman church away. But his last words were, believe the truth and stand for the truth. It was always about the truth. And God also used other men. And since the time of Reformation, the Reformation went on, and there were revivals everywhere. And in every revival, it went deeper and deeper into the Word. And then even 100 years ago, there was the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the whole earth. It took place after the Second World War. And I'm always so glad when Brother Branham mentions that the angel of the Lord came to him in 1946. We believe that Angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, to Mary. So we know that the angel came when something special was to be preached. And when Brother Branham testified that the angel of the Lord was coming down in light and stood in front of him, and he said, I am sent from the presence of God to you to tell you what commission is given to you by God. He mentioned all the details, even about the gift of healing, and that God will be with him, and that nothing will be able to resist his prayer, not even cancer. God is victorious in Jesus Christ. We believe it with all our heart. That God sent our dear brother, he took him home, but the message remained with us. And as I have mentioned already, God's truths about Godhead, baptism, Lord's Supper, about that we are chosen, about whatever he revealed. Just tell me, is there anything that God has not revealed? Also about falling into the sin. How Brother Benham could say, the angel was standing in my room and he told me what happened on the same day when the enemy seduced Eve. And also when Adam was with her. This is the point, brothers and sisters. The fall into the sin did not take place in... It only happened in the second and third chapter of the first book of Moses. First he was in a spiritual body, but then he was in the body of flesh. And in the body of flesh, the fall took place. The seduction was in the body of flesh. And that was what caused the division from God. And that's why our Lord had to come in the body of flesh. He had to be born into this world just in the same way as people are. So that through his death, he could destroy the one who had the power of death. And he gave us the salvation. I have to tell you, never has the word been revealed to such a great extent, and we are thankful to the Lord for the grace, which we can't even describe, that we may have part in it, and that we may bring the message to the ends of the earth. May God the Lord bless us. And as I also mentioned during the last trip, all those who are not yet baptized in the biblical way, those who are not yet baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do not wait. Do not consider it any longer. Believe, and as it's written in Mark 16:16, those who believe and are baptized, those will be saved. Those who do not believe, those are not baptized. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God is very serious. Do not try to make it on your own way. You have to be in the will of God, because only in the will of God we are sanctified and led to the destination. That's why our Lord said that it's good for us to fulfill everything that is written. And the biblical baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I already said it. The triunion formula is not mentioned or used in the Bible at all, not a single time. First in the year 300 and something, when Constantine was on the deathbed, and then there was a priest who came to him and poured 3 drops of water upon his forehead, and that was to be a baptism. Let me mention it again. This is the most important period of time. The last message in the last time period, and those who have hear, let them hear what the Spirit speaks unto the churches. And you should connect the faith with obedience. Faith and obedience go together. So we should do all righteousness, even in this time. I also think about 1948. I was baptized in the Baptist church. But when the time came, and I heard Brother Branham, and then there was the moment when I had to be biblically baptized. So we went to the River of Rhine with some brothers, and we were all together baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us grace. Brothers, I want all of us to be with the Lord. This is our time. And I say it again. Do not try to make it your own way. Follow the Lord's way. Believe as the Scripture says. And connect faith and obedience. And then it is worth to live in this time and to hear the last call. And as I also said, only those who belong to the Bride Church, those will hear the calling of the Bridegroom, and only those will be made ready. And she will be given to be dressed in the white garment
zhruba 40 let jezdím do vaší země. A prožili jsme nádherné shromáždění.
I've been to your country many times and we've had wonderful meetings. And I am grateful to God for this, also for our brother. God has led it that way, that the borders were open. And when we think about it now, those services on the first weekend every month are being translated directly into 12 languages so that everyone on the whole earth can listen to it. So just think about it for a moment. The sermons being preached in Krefeld can be heard in 176 countries. It can be heard in so many countries. And about 2,500 people connect to us online. God is really grateful. And even we've got the technology ready. And where I can't go in person, the Word of God can reach such places. And the last one are being called. I only do what the Lord has commanded me to do. And the trips are still more and more difficult. When one is more than 80 years old, it's not that easy. But the Word of God still has the power and it never returns void and it accomplishes what it has been sent for. And as we heard, ye are of God and we are of God, and those who are of God, those hear the Word of God, respect and believe the Word of God. And we also wanted to say that as Elijah called the people together and he rebuilt the altar and took the 12 stones, so Brother Branham restored the altar of God, took the teachings of the 12 apostles and showed us the original foundation, and we are led back and rebuilt upon the original foundation. Our Lord is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last one, and we can hear His voice now and believe it with all our heart. Now I would like to know, if you believe that the return of the Lord is near, if you believe that the God has sent His messenger and that we can hear the message, say Amen if you believe so. It is worth it to believe, as the scripture says, and to have part in what God is doing right now. And then it is fulfilled that upon the return of the Lord, those who are ready, they went to the marriage and the door was closed. We are waiting for the Lord, we love His appearing and we are getting ready. And upon the return of the Lord, all those who hear His voice now will hear His voice at that time. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive will be changed. It will be a reality. Everything that comes from God is connected with reality. The first coming of Christ was reality. His suffering and death, it was reality. His resurrection was reality. His ascension to heaven was reality. And it is written in the Acts of Apostles, the same Jesus who was taken up from you shall return the same way You saw him going up to heaven. And I just want to tease you a bit, because this hurts me a lot. So there was a cemetery with some memorial, and the text on the memorial is what is written in Luke 21. Behold, he will come in clouds, and all eyes shall see him. And there was the big photo with the cloud on the cemetery, on a memorial stone. And that's about people who believe that the Lord already came, but it's not so, because all the tombs are still closed. So I can't believe anything that is false. The return of the Lord will be God's reality. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be changed. It's no help, and it's impossible to understand about the photo on the tombstone, and it's hard to understand what's going on the earth. But there is the bride church who can't be deceived. The chosen ones can't be deceived, because they remain in the Word. They are the bride of the Lamb, and they shall see His face. Do you all want to be there at the time? You are to be there when the Lord returns to take us home. May God bless you all and be with you. Believe as the Scripture says, and connect faith and obedience. And may we all experience the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as it is written in James chapter 5 from verse 7. We are waiting for the latter rain, and everything will come to completion at the time. Believe the promises of God, and we'll see them fulfilled together. May the name of the Lord be glorified. We give thanks to Him for the word. We are grateful that He has sent the prophet, and that we may bring the message, and we thank for the message that it's going out. So we believe, as the picture says, and we are waiting for the return of the Lord. May God bless you all in the holy name of Jesus. Let's stand up and pray together. Will the singers sing a song just later? So let's bow our heads and remain in silent prayer. Maybe we have people here who are coming for the first time, who have never been to a meeting like this. We would like to pray especially for you, so that you may find God's grace. Many things can be new to you, but if it is written in the Bible, then we must know about it. If you believe with all your heart that the return of the Lord is near, that the Lord has sent the last message, to call us out and to prepare us, and that it's taking place right now, so that we could really know what our Lord mentioned three times. When you see all these things come to pass, then look up, for you know your redemption is near, your redemption of our bodies. And that's why it's written in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 that after we've heard the word of truth, we are sealed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of promise. Brothers and sisters, many people are anointed by the Spirit, but what we need is the sealing of the Spirit, because God can only seal what comes from Him. God does not put His seal upon any false doctrine, only upon what He said. Only that can stand before Him. And the seal is so important because so it is written, after you've heard the word of truth and believed it, then you are sealed. How many of you have received the word? How many of you want to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Up to the day of the salvation of our bodies, beloved Lord, you faithful God, you see all our hearts, you see all of us. I thank you for all my brethren, for all my sisters. I thank thee for thy word. I thank thee for the message. I thank thee for the blood of the new covenant, for the Holy Spirit that is still at work now. I also thank thee for the blood, for the blood of the Lamb, for the blood of the new covenant. I thank thee for the word. I thank thee for the Holy Spirit that leads us unto all the truth. Beloved Lord, may the people of God be sanctified to you. May you be blessed by Almighty God. May you be ready for the coming of the Lord. May you be sealed by the Holy Spirit up to the day of the salvation of our bodies. Hallelujah. May our Lord and God be praised and glorified in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I thank you for coming. I thank for the translation. We thank the Lord that we are connected together and that we shall see the Lord together. Please pray also for me. God willing, we've got plans for all the rest of the year. I can't travel as much as it was possible in the past, but up to now, God has given the grace that we could meet all deadlines and that the Word of God can be brought forth. May God bless you and be with you all. Amen.